God has given all of us a mission to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. We want our church to be a launch pad for sending people out on the mission God has for them. Regardless of who you are, we all have a role to play. We are all involved in God's story. We pray that the story shared through Mission Control will encourage you to see how God is calling you to be used by Him.
Hello, my name is Amanda Levy, and I'm the Communications Director here at First Baptist Melbourne and the host of this podcast. Today we have Tracy Anderson joining us, and Tracy Anderson is a member of First Baptist Melbourne, has been for a long time. How long have you been a member?
Probably about 17, 18 years.
18 years, and he is just a really cool guy. Looking forward to hearing more about him. He's been going to several trips to Ecuador. He's also leading a group. Don't want to steal your thunder here. So we'll get into all of that, but I think it's going to be a really exciting conversation today.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, though, I always like to start with a little fun space-related icebreaker question. So, let's suspend any theological talks of whether aliens exist. Like, remove that. Let's just pretend that you are in outer space and you meet an extraterrestrial being. What would be one of the first questions you would ask them?
Probably if they knew Jesus.
That's a good question to start with.
Yep.
I think it would be really interesting. Like, so we in our small finite brains have this one perception. So, like, do you know Jesus? What was your experience with Jesus? This was ours on Earth.
Yes.
Well, where have you come from? It's a great,
great
first question.
Because you'd want to know, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, as much fun as it is to talk about outer space, thought we'd talk a little bit about your space. So where does God currently have you on mission in your life?
A couple different areas. One thing that I'm looking into is the grandparenting ministry here at the church. And we also are working with a group of men that I was praying about. And the Lord sent that they were praying for a leader. And I was praying for some men. And they showed up at my front door.
Hey.
So, what a
love
great,
it when that happens.
Yeah, it feels like God said, here they are. You know, He gave me what I was asking for and gave them what they were asking for. So that was good. And really have a heart for missions down in Ecuador. I love the people there. And the Lord's really doing a mighty work there.
So grandparenting ministry, how many grandchildren do you have? And what does a grandparenting ministry look like?
We have three grandchildren.
Okay, how old are they?
2, 6 months,
it's a pop quiz,
and 8 years old.
Okay, you got a spread there.
Yep, the oldest is a grandson, and the two younger are granddaughters.
How many kids do you have?
We have 6.
Okay.
Yep.
Lots of kids. So of the, those are from 2 kids?
Them are from 2 kids,
okay,
yes.
Okay, very nice. So,
the floodgates should open at some point, or at least we're hoping, right?
So you got to prepare now.
That's right.
So how does one prepare now with a grandparenting?
Well, just being intentional for one thing, right? The relationship with your children need to be strong, because you are no longer just a parent, you're a grandparent.
Yeah.
And they are the parent of your grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
So that relationship needs to stay well if you want to speak into the grandchild's life, right?
Sure, sure.
Because at this point, you're no longer in control.
Yeah.
If they get upset or they don't like something you're doing, they can withdraw the grandchildren and just cut you off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot to think about and things to go into that. So got to be careful not to overstep your boundaries, because you either have a new daughter-in-law in your family or a new son-in-law in your family.
Yeah.
So they're not used to...
Changes the dynamics.
Right. So very, very different situation when you start bringing people from the outside in that hadn't been around your family their whole life. So it's a little different.
Mm-hmm. And we have a grandparenting ministry here at the church that you and your wife are a part of, correct?
Right.
What does that look like? What does it entail?
Right now is almost like an audit. They have put together a team of people that would be interested in leading in that capacity. And it's Legacy Coalition has a grandparenting ministry. And we are working off of that curriculum. And it is very good.
Okay. Yep. Is this like a fixed amount of time study that y'all are going through curriculum-wise?
It is.
Is it always running, or do could people just look on the website and hop in whenever?
There's plenty of resources on the website. You could probably find them through the church website. But they are interactive. You will run a clip for a little while, and there'll be a series of questions that you can talk about with other grandparents that maybe they've been in a situation that you haven't been, and that's how they got through it, or you've been through one that they haven't, and this is how you got through it. So it's a great resource to have a melting pot of people that have dealt with a myriad of issues, right?
It's almost like that small group format.
It is.
Specifically to the topic of grandparenting.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
Very effective, too.
That's cool. So you have a group of guys. You said you were praying for God to bring some people into your life to disciple and mentor, and these guys basically showed up on your doorstep. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes. Yeah, so I have a real heart for the lost, right? And as I read through the Gospels, Jesus met people where they were, right? And I always tell my wife, you're not going to meet a whole lot of lost people at church. And I just pray, and over the years, I've prayed for the Lord to put men in my life for me to disciple and try to help strengthen their walk to be the men that they've been called to be. So I'd had a little lull there after I'd gotten back from Ecuador, and I was working with one guy that I'd been working with for about a year and a half. And I just started to pray that the Lord would send some men for me to disciple on a Monday night. And I've been praying for about 6 weeks, and I got a knock on my front door.
So literally showed up on your front doorstep.
They showed up at my house.
Nice.
So I'm a member of the Brevard County Airboat Association.
Okay.
Well, some of these men that came to my house are also members.
Okay.
And they're new Christians, and they've just made a decision to follow Christ, and they've been going to church, but they wanted to get deeper knowledge and be disciple. What is our walk supposed to look like? So they showed up at my house, knocked on a door. I came out. I was talking to them. I was a little taken back when they were asking me what they were asking me, and I told them immediately that I'd been praying for the Lord to send me men.
Yeah.
And I said, you're going to get everybody together. And all I have to do is show up or maybe even furnish a spot for us to meet. And they said, yeah.
And easy. And yeah,
I'm in.
Clear answer to prayer.
Yes. So the one thing that I showed them the first night that we met is I told them.
Now, do you meet on your airboats?
We do once a month go to the marsh and meet on the airboats. We got permission from St. John's Water Management to use a piece of walk-in land that we could pull our airboats up on and have a fire for that purpose.
That's
We made the request for a Bible study, and they almost couldn't get the pen out fast enough.
Oh, nice.
But the first night we met around a fire, and I told them how excited I was that the Lord had answered prayer. But I told them, I am not excited how fast y'all are to let someone speak into your life that you don't know.
Gotcha.
You've only heard of me.
Yeah.
I said, so tonight we're going to start with my testimony, and I'm going to tell you what I believe. And if what I explain to y'all is not what you believe, we have some work to do first before we get started.
Sure.
So that's how we kicked it off, and we are 10 weeks in now. And haven't lost one person, have actually gained three more.
Wow.
So we are running about 13, 14 every Monday night around a fire or out in the marsh in airboats.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you go through, is it a particular Bible study, or what are you kind of walking through with the guys?
Almost what we're doing right now. Well, what we've started to do is go through the John study.
Okay.
Alongside the church, because I have a life group on Tuesday night that I'm doing that with also.
Okay.
So I told them this is what we do for the next 6 weeks is go through this study. But before that, it was just foundation building out of the Gospels. What is Jesus look like? Life look like? What should our life look like? If we are followers of him, mm-hmm. have four books of the Bible that showed an example of his life,
uh-huh.
how he walked
yeah.
and talked and treated people.
Yeah, sure.
So that's what we're doing. We're trying to just grasp that foundation and get our moral compass right.
Awesome. You know? That's awesome.
Yeah.
So now pivoting a little bit, you're about to go to Ecuador. I just heard you talking with Pastor Doug about it.
Yep.
When was your first trip to Ecuador?
I don't remember exactly what month it was, but my wife and son were going down on uh-huh. a family trip with Doug uh-huh. to do some vacation Bible schools.
Uh-huh.
And they asked me to go, and I told my wife, I don't know if I want to go down for a vacation Bible school.
Uh-huh.
Well, unbeknownst to me, she went ahead and signed me up anyways.
Voluntold.
So.
What year was this?
This was last year.
So 2023.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I went down, and I've been on mission trips. I've been all over the world.
Okay.
And so this is the first time to Ecuador, and I knew some people from Ecuador from mission conferences here in the United States.
Okay.
I had done stuff with them while yeah. they were here.
Yeah.
So when I hit the ground, I already seen familiar faces and,
yeah.
and kind of had a relationship with some of the people. But over that time, for the vacation Bible school that week, there wasn't a whole lot for me to do, you
uh-huh.
know. So I helped with some plays. I gave my testimony in a church on Sunday. And one of the people that went down with us ended up falling and breaking their wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So Doug had to leave with them to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So when Doug left, they said, "You're in charge." So for the time he was gone, every question that they needed answered, they just came to me. And I was like a fish out of water. I mean, shooting from the hip, because we wasn't prepared for that.
And yeah.
It was just a quick thing that happened right then.
Yeah.
But we got through that, and through that made some more bonds and relationships, and just really got to have some biblical conversations with some of them, some of the people there. And the Lord led me to a passage in Romans 8. And like I said, I didn't have a lot of things I was doing. So
mm-hmm.
for 5 nights in a row, I went out at 1-2 o'clock in the morning on the deck in a jungle. Nothing around, no lights, just completely dark with a flashlight. And I read that passage over and over again and prayed and just asked the Lord to show me what he was trying to show me in that passage. Well, by the end of the week, he had showed me. And it was a real brokenness. My life was, I thought my life was in order, and it was not.
Yeah.
You know, not to say I was a bad person or I wasn't living and following Christ, but the time and talent and the gifts that he have given to me in my life, I was not using properly,
mm-hmm.
right? And he made that perfectly clear to me.
Gotcha.
So from there, just got involved in a few things with the people there, had some opportunity to sit down and do a little discipling one-on-one with some of the people there.
Mm-hmm.
And just really made a great connection with them. And then we went back down 3 months later for a discipleship conference, and it was just a 4-man team.
Uh-huh.
All we were going down for was discipleship with a church plant. So we taught 2 nights there in that conference. I gave my testimony again at a church, and it was a short trip, very busy. We did a 4-man team did a vacation Bible school.
Very different pace than the one in the summer.
on top of the teaching, Cody from one of our church mm-hmm. plants here in town, he preached on Sunday. I did the discipleship conference the first night by myself. Charles Coley and Alex Rodriguez did the second night. And we even managed to pull off a vacation Bible school with them 4 guys,
wow.
with the women from Ecuador.
Okay.
So it was a super busy trip, and God had pushed me out of my comfort zone a little bit there with the just giving me different platforms that I'm not used to. And then mm-hmm. in December, a trip came up and it was going to be canceled because there was no one to lead it.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Aaron and said, don't cancel the trip, I'll lead it.
Okay.
I didn't know what that meant when I agreed to do that, but I found out quickly. And, but again, it was the Lord. It's trusting the Lord. You mm-hmm. know, if he gives you a step and you pray through something and you feel the confirmation,
mm-hmm.
be bold,
mm-hmm.
take the step.
Mm-hmm.
And when I took that step, I had no idea that I would be speaking at the 1 year anniversary at our church plant down there.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea that I would do.
How many were on the team with you for the one you led?
Four.
Okay.
One guy, two women.
Okay.
And unfortunately, women can't teach mixed congregation down there. It's biblical. But there's only one other guy.
Yeah.
And so he took one section of the discipleship conference, did a great, great job. But I spoke at the church plant anniversary. I did the discipleship conference on Monday night. I finished the discipleship conference on Tuesday night. And then I preached at the church plant Ooh. On Wednesday night. So by the time we were done, my birthday was on Friday when we traveled home. And I told my wife, and Angie Matheny was mm-hmm. with us on that trip. I told him I'm spiritually drained. I had no idea.
I can imagine, yeah.
But
how much notice did you have from the don't cancel the trip, I'll lead it, to then actually leaving and leading the trip?
There was a few weeks notice. The trip before that, we knew we were going, but we didn't get our material till a day before we were leaving. Okay. So, I mean, preparation is on the plane
so
while you're going.
So you've already had like a little bit of a taste and a test of trusting on the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, the people there are incredible. And they are so hungry for the truth because, I mean, it's Roman Catholicism down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. And the people have been under that their whole lives. It's mm-hmm. almost like oppression. And a couple of these towns that we've been in was the first time they ever heard any evangelical teaching.
Wow.
So when you share the gospel with them people.
It's the first time they've heard it.
It's almost like some people you can see in the audience are like, wow. This guy's making me a little angry because everything I've believed my whole life, he's destroyed in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then there's other people in the room that you see the light bulbs going off. And they said, we knew there was something
more.
We've been looking
for something.
Yes,
but
we've been
have the
longing.
Answer.
And he just told us what we're longing for. It's Jesus Christ, not yeah. Mary, not Peter.
Yeah.
Not confessing my sins to a priest. It's confessing to Christ and letting him be the Lord of my life.
Yeah.
You know? And to be able for the Lord to give you a front seat to see, you know, a lot of times we labor and plant seeds and we don't see the fruit from that. And it can be discouraging.
Yeah.
But we have to trust in the Lord's plan because it's better than ours. But to see that, see you do a discipleship lesson, share the gospel at the end and explain it to the people. And then to see people respond and come forwards and make the decision to follow Christ, I can't tell you how humbling that is to be able to see that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it made me cry,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I know that that person has heard the truth and their life has changed.
Yeah.
Not only their life, their eternity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's... We've been called to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a completely different perspective going. I think it's hard as an American, especially if you've never left America, to understand this idea that someone has not heard this gospel or doesn't have a conception for Jesus.
Right.
And it is a completely humbling perspective when you leave this culture and you experience that for the first time and you experience the response to it. I feel like for me personally, it was a big eye-opening experience. In South Asia, that was mine. So yes, I think being in a position like that, going to Ecuador and having the ability to preach so much, I can see how that would be very impactful in your life.
And it is. And, you know, a lot of people have a misconception of discipleship. You know, they're like, I can't disciple anybody. I don't know enough.
Yeah.
And that's just simply not true.
Yeah.
All you have to do is find another person that you know more than.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to be a valedictorian at seminary to disciple someone.
Yeah.
You just have to know a little more about the Bible than the guy sitting next to you, and you know what? You're discipling.
Yeah.
And it's that easy.
Yeah.
And we make it way too hard, right?
Yeah.
That we have to have all these boxes checked and everything has to be in line. And I have one thing out of place in my life and I've got to get that. Yep. And it's excuse after excuse after excuse. And what I tell the men I disciple, you know what an excuse is? It's a misstep from the Lord, right? And he is not going to give you another one until you take the one he's already given you.
Mm.
Once you take that one, he'll give you another one. Mm-hmm. But until you take the first one, he is not going to lay a path out for you forever and ever.
Yeah.
You have to follow, right?
Yeah. He was faithful with little, is faithful with much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember the reference for that, but yes.
Yep.
I think, too, what I found in my experience with discipleship and with that is when you buy into that misconception, if you don't buy into it and you actually do, you are faithful with the step, I have always been surprised to see, oh, no, this question or this thing that someone is walking through, God has actually uniquely equipped me to help with that.
Exactly.
And it's not this mystery. Sometimes there are big questions, but for the most part, I feel like if we're both walking in faithfulness, then God is laying out the path for you.
Right. He's prepared the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he knows exactly how that situation's going to work out before we got there.
Yeah.
What we have to do is trust, right? And follow and be faithful to open our mouth instead of quenching the spirit when the butterflies are in your stomach and your heart's beating fast and you're like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
And you douse that with water. Well, we should be saying yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And take that step.
Yeah.
I mean, what we need to remember is the person is not rejecting me. They're rejecting Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the Great Commission, what did he say? Lo, I'll be with you till the end of the age. So he's right next to us.
Yeah.
We are filled with the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
We're sharing the good news.
Yeah.
We're a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
His hands and feet.
Yeah.
He's not asking us to save them. He's not asking us to change them.
Yeah.
He's simply asking us to tell them.
Yep.
Right? He will do the rest.
Yep.
So we have to remember that.
Yep.
It's not our duty to save them. It's not our duty to change them. It is our duty to arm them with the information for the Lord to do that work for them.
Mm-hmm.
We have nothing to do with it outside of that.
And what a privilege it is to be used.
Yes.
Because he doesn't have to use us.
He does not.
And then you miss out on the experience of seeing people respond.
Yep. It is such a humbling thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I have seen that fruit here in the United States. I have seen it in Romania. I have seen it in Ecuador. I've seen it in Puerto Rico. I mean, it's just, what a great thing.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful place to be when you're serving the Lord.
So your three trips to, have you been back to Ecuador since December? It's April right now.
We were supposed to go back May 2nd, but that team, some of the team members on that team come down with some health issues. So they are going to combine that May trip with the June trip.
Okay.
And I will take some people from the June trip with me to fulfill what we were going to do in May.
In May.
Yes.
Gotcha. So then that would be four trips to Ecuador
in
a year's time frame.
In a year span, yes.
Okay. I have two different paths my brain wants to go. First path is, okay, four trips to Ecuador. How does finances work for going on mission, especially traveling internationally? You have 6 kids. I mean, they're grown now. Well, one of them's still in the house, right?
Yep, just one.
I mean, we haven't really talked about what do you do for work, but what do you do for work?
I am a painting contractor. I've been in the painting business here locally for about 40 years.
Okay.
Yep.
So how has God worked out the finances, and what encouragement would you have for someone that is the block in their brain, the wall that they can't seem to figure out how to get past?
Well, there's a few different ways you can attack that. I know that when me and Lori had all 6 of our children at home still, I did go on a mission trip to Romania and different places. I went to Israel. And in them situations, I sent out support letters and said, here's what I'm doing. You know, and when I went to Israel, it was an educational trip.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that in my letter. I'm going to learn more. I'm going to go see these sites. And I'm digging deeper into my faith, you know. And I raised enough money to go.
Awesome.
Right? And in the same way with Romania, the time I went there when I still had all the kids at home, wrote support letters and ended up raising the money to go on that trip just through support letters. But I would do odds and end jobs and say, hey, I'm going to go get this little job and that money goes for mission stuff.
Yeah.
You know, or thankfully now the Lord has blessed me to be in a position that I don't have to worry too much about how I'm going to financially make arrangements for that because he's made a way.
Yeah.
Right. So, but there's a lot of different ways you can do that. And that's how I'd attack it, you know, and I, every once in a while, I know that someone from the church will donate some money and say, this is for scholarships and that you can apply to the church for a scholarship and tell them why it's important for you to go on that mission trip and why God's calling you there. And they will sometimes bridge that gap. And just stroke that check and you're on your way, you know. So there's a lot of different ways that you can roust up money. Don't let that be a roadblock.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. And then one thing I'm curious about, you mentioned, so the first trip to Ecuador was VBS and you were hesitant about it. Would you be willing to share why you're hesitant about the VBS? And well, how God worked through that?
How God worked through that is I was just like, I don't speak the language, so how effective am I going to be teaching a bunch of children, right? And then the second thing was, how do I even approach this? I'm going to a country I've never been in, so I don't even know how their vacation Bible school is set up. Yeah. I don't know how they run them because cultures are different, you know? And that's one thing that you have to remember when you go to another country. Unfortunately, most countries don't live like we live, and we need to live like they live when we're with them, right?
Yeah.
And we need to be mindful of that because it's just different there, you know? But, it's crazy.
It's different. It's different for sure. So some of your other mission trips, what were some of the things you did on some of the other mission trips, maybe not just to Ecuador?
So we did, I went to Romania. We did a School of Heroes vacation Bible school over there. And on the prefaces of we were teaching them English.
Okay.
But we were teaching them the gospel through English, right? We were not lying. We were teaching them English, but we were also teaching them the gospel because, again, there's another Roman Catholic country that, you know, not as bad now as it was when I originally went.
Gotcha.
12, 13 years ago or 14 years ago. I mean, they've come a long way since then, but same difference. I mean, it's that hard Roman Catholic oppression. And the bad thing about that is the Catholic Church owns most everything.
Yeah.
So if they don't like what you're doing, they just shut everything down.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere to do anything.
Control the purse strings.
Yeah. So, yeah. But pretty cool stuff though. Yeah, I've never felt unsafe. I always felt like if the Lord prepared a way for me that he would protect me. And even if that wasn't in the cards, I mean, the suffering that I will do here is temporary for the gain that I'm going to receive.
Yeah.
Right?
What advice would you have for someone who's trying to figure out what that next step is for them that God has for them? Or maybe trying to discern, they feel like they want to do more on mission, but they don't know where to start.
I would say the first thing to start with is prayer. Saturate it with prayer. The Lord will give an answer. Second thing I would say is every woman and every man needs a good, strong Christian man or woman in their life that they can talk to about anything mm-hmm. that will take their burdens to the throne mm-hmm. for them, right? And that will give them wise counsel, mm-hmm. right? And hold them accountable. Because through conversation with other men that are on the same page as me, mm-hmm. I can be enlightened to a lot of things,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's what I would say. It's prayer. It's just being faithful and humble, and the Lord will guide. Just have some good people that you can trust and confide in that will help guide you, you mm-hmm. know?
Earlier in your life, would you have had any imagination that you'd be where you are now?
Absolutely none.
How has God kind of guided you and opened up your mind to how someone could be used by him?
I have a funny story of how I came to faith.
Okay.
It's a lot like Paul wrote to Timothy. Through his grandmother and mother, he received his faith. Well, it was through my grandmother and aunt that I received my faith. And I made a decision to follow Christ at 9 years old,
okay.
right? But I did not live that life. I come from a very rough background, and I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. But the decision that 9-year-old boy made never went away,
uh-huh.
right? The Lord was always seeking
mm-hmm.
and following me, saying, man, I'm going to put another wall in front of you. I'm going to put another wall in front of you. And I'll tell you, I chopped wood for a long time with no axe head.
Gotcha.
Got nowhere.
Gotcha.
And until I come to the point in my life where I got on my knees and said, Lord, I'm done. I can't mm-hmm. do this anymore. You have to do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at about, I believe I was 33 years old
okay.
when I made that decision.
Uh-huh.
And I got up from the ground, and my life has never been the same since then. And I just said, Lord, guide me and have your way with me. And he said, be careful what you ask for, brother. And
buckle up.
I'll tell you, I still don't feel qualified because of what the Lord has done for me.
Mm-hmm.
And but I will not let Satan put so much fear into me mm-hmm. that I will not take the message of the Lord forward,
mm-hmm.
right? And we don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I have led and preached at places where I've had questions asked to me when I was done, and I had to tell them I don't have that answer. But mm-hmm. I will write it down, and I will get you an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just caution that if you ever do run into that guy that has all the answers, that's not the guy.
Yeah.
Right? And if you think you need all the answers to teach or disciple someone, you'll never get them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's mysteries in the Bible that we'll never know till we're with the Lord. And if you let that be the central fear in your life, you will never disciple anyone. You mm-hmm. will never share the gospel, and you will never teach anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to let that go. And, you know, stick to what you know and stick to the truth. And what Scott taught me through the Aspire program here is one of the first things that we learned is don't add nothing to the word
mm-hmm.
and don't take anything away from the word. The word is perfect just like it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the only thing I would caution people about is a lot of times we want to add what we think, and it doesn't matter what we think.
Yeah.
It only matters what the scripture thinks because it's perfect just like it is.
When you're in those moments where you're really suffering with feelings of inadequacy and fear, what are some things that help bring you out of that, that you might do, or postures?
A lot of times when I'm feeling insecure is prayer, and I love to read scripture. And then I just think about Paul, you mm-hmm. know, some of his writings about being bold, and we haven't been given a spirit of fear, and I have to reassure myself. Yeah. And then I just, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. It's just like I'm getting myself all jacked up before yeah. you walk out there. You know yeah. what I mean? And then it's what I always tell my wife. When I get out of my own way and let the Spirit lead me, mm-hmm. it's much better.
Yeah.
We can prepare and prepare and prepare till the cows come home.
Yeah.
But when you get up there, once the Spirit takes over, 90% of the stuff that you were going to say in your words and yeah. your time get thrown right out the window anyways, yeah. right? So I would just say, stick to what you know and go let it rip.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
That's your calling.
Yeah. Well, I've enjoyed this conversation. To kind of like wrap it up, what advice or encouragement would you have for someone who's seeking to answer the call to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God?
Go find someone that has already answered the call and learn from them. Grab a hold, get on the ride, yeah. and before long, you'll be doing it too.
Yeah.
Right? You just need someone to show you the way. That's the confidence to get out there and do it, right?
Yeah.
So, and that is one great thing about these international mission trips. Okay, you can prepare before you go. You know what you're going to say. You have a translator. If you make a mistake, they will clean it up for you, right? So get comfortable doing something like that, right? And the Lord will use you. You just have to let him.
Yeah.
Just say, Lord, I'm yours. Let's go. And he'll say, okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think if I've learned anything from these podcast episodes too, particularly on the topic of mentorship and discipleship, is don't be afraid to ask. Like
that's
that man who showed up on your doorstep and asked.
That's right.
I think sometimes we're waiting for it to always work in reverse, where someone approaches us like, I would love to mentor you.
Right.
But if it's a two-way street and both people are praying for it and asking for it, we shouldn't be afraid to make the ask.
No, and if you don't ask, you'll never know.
Yep.
Right? So it could be a yes.
Yeah.
It might be a no.
Yeah.
But you'll never know if you don't ask.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you for coming. I enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm looking forward to see how it'll be used.
All right. Me too. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mission Control. If you're interested in learning more about Launch 10X and the different ways to get involved in what God is doing here at First Baptist Melbourne, a great place to start would be visiting our website, launchme.church. Next time on Mission Control, we have Bruce and Grace Snavely joining us. Bruce and Grace are members here at the church, and they run what's called the Global Baptist Training Foundation, which currently serves in 14 countries on 3 different continents, and their aim is to take college-level theological training to pastors in developing nations without charge. I'm really looking forward to this conversation, and I think you should too. Until then, have a great week on mission with King Jesus.